Why do I conduct my show on this manner? Mondo!
Sweet mother of God, what is the holdup?
Eleanor!
Once again, something wonderful in my life has been turned into a giant crap fest.
Mondo!
Got a little bit more cock for you here.
Eleanor!
Bowtie boy got the big snaggeroonie.
Mondo!
Oh, six of my nipples are tingling.
Eleanor!
See why America loves him so much?
Mondo!
I'd like to smash you in the face with my shillelagh.
Eleanor!
I have no idea what's going on.
Mondo!
He was lying.
He said he never tells a lie.
He was lying when he said that.
Eleanor!
I want a cup.
Well, could you spell that?
C-U-P. I want to see you. Oh, my God.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Stomach batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
For God's sake, strap yourself down.
That's right. It's the show your bosses don't want you to listen to. The show that's going to tell you the truth about what's going on in the workplace. So wake the hell up. It's the Cup of Joe radio show. I am your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, the voice of the working man, the voice of the radical middle, and the voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Our engineer, Sock Puppet Sam, is here!
Hello, I'm good, Joe.
And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, but first, Sam, give us the URL for the site.
That's cupojoe.blogspot.com.
And the email address.
joevec@bellsouth.net.
All right, I want to welcome all of my fans listening in at the White Rose Society. That's whiterosesociety.org. My good friend Ben Birch hosting my archives there. And, of course, all my fans at rantsradio.com listening in on Thursdays and Sundays. As I speak, it is early Thursday morning, 2:33 a.m. by the clock on the wall, clock on the computer, actually. It's been a crazy couple of days for me. My wife was in the hospital again today. She went down to a regular appointment to see the OBGYN to try to get her medical condition taken care of. She's trying to get surgery to get rid of some internal nonsense that she's got going on in there. And it's just a long, slow process because they had to take a biopsy to make sure what was inside her was not cancerous. And, of course, it wasn't. They weren't expecting it to be, but just doing a precaution, which is always fine. I mean, it's just everything just moves in the molasses. And before she has the operation that she needs to remove these things, then she has to go to a cardiologist, and that will be next week. So if any of you have any, if any of you are religious and want to pray on our behalf, please do so. Pray on Kathy's behalf because she needs all the help she can get. Her life the last few months has been one of either pain or sleep. Sleep brought about by the pain medication she has to take. And as I mentioned in an earlier episode and on the blog, it just stresses everybody out when these things are going on. And for poor people, working poor people like myself, things can get pretty frustrating. I mean, you have a situation where, for example, I got to have my car tuned up, you know, and I need new brake pads. The brake pads I could probably handle because I've done brake pads before. It's a pain in the butt, but it's really not as bad as it seems. I've already got the C-clamp. I think I need to get a new hex wrench thing, the hex key to break open those things that hold the brake pads on. I've done brake pads before. It's really not that difficult. I'll go to the auto parts store and pay like $30-$40 for brake pads, and it saves me a bunch of labor. Usually it costs like $200 to have the brake pads replaced on the car, and I've done it before, and everything's worked really well. The car itself needs a tune-up, which is another thing. It's gonna have to wait. I haven't paid rent in a little while, so I'm pretty far behind rent right now. And again, we're hoping against hope that Kathy gets her disability approved. And I don't think she'll qualify for disability permanently, but she certainly qualifies medically from at least the time that she submitted the application. And for probably at least a month after she has the operation, whenever that is scheduled, because it's going to take some recovery time. It's a major operation, and mostly they want to make sure and take precautions enough to make sure that she doesn't die on the operating table. That would be a very bad thing, and I'm not really sure what I would do if that were to happen. I love my wife very much, and she's very much a part of my life and a part of who I am. So, work has been interesting in the last few days, among the other things, but there's some new people in there, some temp workers, and I got one guy who's kind of acting like a 15-year-old little prick. You know, he's always, "Hey, Joe. Hey, Joe." And he's always bugging me because I scratch my butt every now and then. My fucking butt itches, okay? Damn it, it's a hot and sweaty plant in there. And sometimes my shorts ride up on me a little and I just want to adjust them. Or sometimes I just got a quick little itch that I want to take care of. And he was pestering me about it all night, you know? One mention is okay, and I just explained, look, I scratch when I itch. And, you know, he's talking about it being unsanitary. Well, maybe it would bother me more if I didn't work in a fucking steel plant and my hands were so damn dirty from handling steel and screws all day. It doesn't make that much of a difference. It's not like I'm going out and fixing food for people. And I do wash my hands before I fucking eat lunch. But he's just one of those guys that's got to keep nagging you, you know, asking you questions. And then when you finally get pissed off, he's like, "Why are you getting mad at me just because I ask questions?" I'm like, "Fuck you. Damn fucking asshole. Fuck you." It gets very annoying. I do not handle immaturity very well, childishness. I do not handle these things very well. Even though I'm very immature and childish myself in my own ways, the types of immaturity and the childishness that I talk about are the type that feel the need to put people down or to just see how far they can get before they piss somebody off. And I really don't react very well to that. I tend to react very very immaturely. My initial response is to grab a blunt instrument and beat the guy's face to a pulp. And, of course, I've never followed through on that. If I did, I wouldn't be doing this comfortable radio show. Maybe one day I'll snap. Maybe one day Joe will just snap. Maybe I'll do it live on the air. That would be fun. Since we're not live, it wouldn't be here anyway. It would be on the other show on my other station. I do a music show, for those of you who aren't aware. It's called Audio Hell. And it's on akaradio.com, which I like okay, but I only get like 3 or 4 listeners on that show. I think I've had a maximum of like 10 or 11 ever. And as much as I enjoy putting together the music show, it's simply not worth my effort for 2 or 3 people, really. There's not that many people who listen. The people who do listen like the show. And I get some pretty decent feedback from Rant Radio. And in fact, we're going to have an interview later on with Smokehouse from Rant Radio. He's one of the main guys from that, one of the two main guys. And he lives in another part of the country. I won't reveal addresses. Heck, I don't even really know his name, nonetheless his address. I know what city he lives in, but I'm not even going to bother to say that. Sumerian, who is the other guy, lives out in California. So it just goes to show the power of the internet, where two guys who live in two completely different states can put his shows together. Excuse me. It's been a long night. My wife went to the emergency room today, and I had to go down there. I took a couple hours off of work. I waited for about 15 or 20 minutes until 9 o'clock came around. Our company works on what they call a point system. If you miss a day, you get a point. If you work until 9 o'clock, which is like 6 hours, if you work 6 hours and leave, then you get half a point. And when you reach like 8 points, they fire you. So after tonight, I'm sitting at 5.5 points. But I had to go down there to get her taken care of. And really, until she gets her surgery, there's nothing they can do for her, you know, except to just get her some more pain medication. So she's sleeping comfortably right now as I'm trying to finish up this show so I can lay down and relax for a few minutes and just watch some TV. Roseanne is on. I've got to get up at 10 in the morning to do another interview. I've got some good interviews lined up. And actually, I'd started to do the interview, the first one here, not the Smokehouse, but the one I'm planning for Sunday's show. I started to do that on Tuesday. But because of the Storm Francis, and we've been getting a little bit of rain and stuff like that, it's also knocked out the power. And it knocked out the power 25 minutes into the interview and basically ruined it. Because I'm not doing this into a tape recorder. It's recording right into the computer. So, but anyway, we're going to have this show, the interview is going to dominate the show. It's about 30 or so minutes long. which is actually a rather short interview for me, because when we get talking, when I get talking to people, it can just last for a long time. And I like doing the interviews because of that. Anyway, let's have a little break, and we'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Sam, play us out.
We'll be right back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show.
And welcome back to the Cup of Joe Radio Show. I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, the voice of the working man, the voice of the radical middle, and the voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Now again, if you're hearing my voice and it sounds a little funny, that's because we're doing yet another phone interview, and I like to do these, as you know, because it makes the time go by quicker. And I've got a special guest with me today. He is Smokehouse from RantRadio.com. Hi, Smokehouse.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. Now, you do Rant Speak, which is your main show, but you and Sumerian are the two main guys behind Rant Radio. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And when did you start that?
Well, Tim actually started it before me. Rant Radio started on January 3rd, 1999, and I came in about a year later.
Wow. You guys have been really growing, though. I mean, because it seemed to me that when I first started, and that was 30 shows ago,
right,
that there weren't quite so many people on it. It just seems to have taken off in the last few months or so.
Yeah, we have sort of up and down periods. We'll go really high, and then we'll have a drop off, and then we'll jump back up. Right now we're in one of the high periods, I guess you could say.
Okay. Well, you guys mostly do music. In fact, you have a punk channel and an industrial music channel. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And what's the difference between punk and industrial?
Well, it's sort of hard for me to say because I'm not a big fan, really, of either one of the genres.
Mm-hmm.
Industrial is more something like your nine inch nails. Stuff like that. Have you heard of them?
I've heard of them, but I don't know any of their music. I've just heard the name.
It's really produced studio type music. Lots of computers are used. Not what you would call real real instruments. A lot of it's generated type music.
Like techno or an offshoot of techno.
Right, sort of like that. And punk is just like a really aggressive hard rock. For like thrash music, I guess you would say.
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit more familiar with punk music than I am with industrial, because from the Sex Pistols and the early days
like
of
that.
Punk, and the Ramones and stuff like that. I've got some friends, actually, a couple of guys I know who are going to do an interview with me hopefully next weekend. Were fairly heavy into the punk scene back then, although they didn't do the razor blades in the mouth or safety pins through the nose or whatever
right.
type of deal. So why'd you decide to do a talk thing as well as the
Before we just used to have the industrial station and we sort of mixed talk in the middle of that, and for the longest time we were the highest rated industrial station on the internet, and we are again now. But for a while we were starting to slip because people wanted to tune in to hear music, and they were hearing talking instead, and they didn't really like it all that much. So we just did this so we could have talking on one station and we could have all the music on the other ones. So no matter what you wanted to listen to, you could have it.
Now, when you say highest rated, let's talk some actual numbers. How would you compare it to, say, a small local station?
I'm talking in terms of internet ratings. Like if you go to Shoutcast and look up industrial,
mm-hmm.
we'll either be number one or very close to number one.
Well, what kind of? I'm not talking about like numbers as far as that's concerned, but like about how many listeners would you say?
It varies. I mean, we can get around 200 to 300 at a time.
Okay, so internet radio is still kind of just beginning, in that
right.
sense. I mean, you obviously don't have the same kind of play that even a small local station.
But you have to also consider that as far as internet radio goes, there's like 10,000 choices. So there's literally like that many stations.
Is there anyone that you think is really going to start to break away from the others?
I hope it's us. But as far as one that I've been keeping my eye on, no, I couldn't say. The ones that do the best are the ones that have money behind them.
Right.
And we don't. We run completely off of listener donations, and I don't. I don't even mean money. I just mean, like, equipment and bandwidth. And we've survived that way for almost 6 years.
Kind of like how I'm doing here. I mean, I got, you know, this computer was donated to me. And, you know, the mixer I got basically with donations from from viewers. And not that many. I mean, it's not like I got a whole bunch. I got this thing for, like, $70. What did you spend on your MX-802?
Mine was $130 because I got it brand new.
Oh, okay. So I got a not too bad deal here. Even though I got the third microphone, for some reason, comes out only on the right side.
Yeah, that's probably just something with the microphone.
Yeah. So, well, that's good. Well, you started back in 99. What, you know, the technology was obviously different 5 years ago. And was there even DSL back then? I think there was.
There was cable. Actually, Rant Radio started the day that the technology came out. Started that day. We were on Sumerian's cable modem with 8 listeners. That's all we could support. That's how long we've been around. We're much bigger now. I think if you count all 3 stations, we can support somewhere upwards of 1,000 listeners.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. What's the biggest show on the on the biggest individual shows that you have on each of your stations?
The biggest individual shows. Let's see. Well, we also have a television station as well where we run pre-recorded television shows, and we do have one live show as well. The biggest show on that is a show by a guy named DJ Pulse. He just sits and plays industrial music in front of a camera, and for some reason, he's very entertaining, and that seems to be the big show on our TV network right now.
So that's like a webcam type of deal.
Sort of like that, yeah. But he's it's sort of what he does for a living. He owns a hosting company, so he really knows what he's doing, and it comes off really well. Let's see, on the Industrial Channel, we have a show called Distorted Circuitry hosted by DJ Morgana. She and one other girl, I think her name is DJ Razor Girl. They're the only 2 girls we have on the station, so they always get really high ratings because nerds like girls.
Yeah.
As far as a talk station, I would say my show is probably, if not the highest rated, it's really close to the top, Rant Speak is. And the punk station's only got 1 DJ on it right now because we sort of just started out. So there's only 1 show, so I can't really say. I guess he's the most popular because he's the only one on there. I guess is what you would say. His name's Gino.
Well, it seems to me that the big star that you've got is Sean Kennedy.
Yeah, but he's sort of turned into a bit of a recluse. He doesn't do live work anymore. He just does pre-recorded stuff.
Well, it was weird because every time for a while when I was flipping on Rant Radio, when you had a slot that wasn't already being filled by somebody, I was hearing one of his older shows.
Yeah, he's a very big draw. I guess you would say he's the biggest draw, but he just doesn't do a whole lot of live work anymore.
But what is he doing now? Obviously he's got to do something to make a living, so maybe he's just like too busy
to
work.
We've never done this to make a living, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think it's ever going to happen. But he's pretty proud about the work that he does. I know he's a security guard, and I think he has a couple of other jobs he does too.
Well, you know, as you know, I work a regular 40-hour-a-week job, and it's very difficult to try to put together 2-hour-long shows a week when you're working 40 hours a week and plus trying to take care of a sick wife and all that stuff. So all the other DJs, I'm sure, face similar problems. But I'm only one of 2 guys who pre-record their shows.
Right.
And that's you prefer to people to do it live, don't you?
Yeah, I do, because it's a lot less trouble for us.
Yeah.
Because as you've learned, it doesn't always play when it's supposed to.
Oh, yeah. And also if, like, for example, Mark and Daryl is usually the show on before mine,
right. They
almost always go over.
Yeah,
a couple of minutes.
I've been trying to correct that as best I can.
Well, that's okay. You know, I mean, it's not like everybody's clocks are synchronized,
right.
You know. I mean, they could say, well, we only got 2 minutes left, but I'm showing another 30 seconds.
Right.
You know, so. Do you find it difficult to get anything done with all these different egos?
Sometimes, yes. Because everybody, you know, everybody wants more than I can give them sometimes. I figure when we split stations into 3 formats, it would get harder, but actually it's gotten easier because it's given me more leeway as to what I can allow. You know, I had to be careful before when we just had the 1 station of balancing the talk and the music out. Now I don't have to worry about that quite so much. But there still is like an ego, like some person will wonder why, you know, I got more time than this other person or something along those lines. And I have to make judgment calls, you know. Sometimes it just comes down to who's better. They all work very, very hard, but sometimes, you know, you'll get someone who's better than someone else.
Well, let me ask you this, because we talked about this in chat very briefly last night, and you talked about how you wanted to stick with the punk format, even though you just said here that you're not particularly a fan of punk yourself, but you decided you want to stick with that for your station. Why do you think that the punk format is the more popular type of format, or the one that's going to draw your most listeners?
I don't know. I stick around mostly because I'm a fan of talk radio. That's pretty much why I'm here. And I've just been put in. I don't program the music for the other two stations. I just make sure they keep running. It's basically what I do.
Well, we were talking about my other show, Audio Hell, which I'm on another station, which only gets maybe two or three listeners.
Right.
I'm kind of like, why am I doing this? And you're like, well, you know, maybe you should switch to a different type of format. Format is everything, and the AKA is like all over the place.
Okay, yeah, you just mentioned that.
I'm sorry.
Name,
well,
but yes, that's a big problem. And if I'm going to give anybody one tip that wants to start an internet radio station, you can start as many different channels as you want, like we have. But the key thing is to stick for one format for each one, because you won't hold an audience if you just get on there and just play whatever you feel like.
Oh, I see. So what you're saying is since they have so many people on their station playing basically, you know, grunge or whatever, to have a show like mine, which is really more of like a kind of sort of Dr. Demento thing where I'm playing novelty and plus other regular type of music, it just won't cut it there.
Right, because people will hear something they like, and then they'll hear something they don't like.
So I'm going to have to locate a station that is more accepting of the type of music that I'm going to play.
Yeah. See, it's like I always tell people, the key to success is, you know, consistency. And the more that you change your playlist around, it's going to be harder to keep an audience. Even FM stations that run a mixed format don't do very well.
Right.
Because they don't cater to one specific audience.
Right, and people don't always have time to be switching back and forth. They're like, I'm turning to this station because they're playing. Is that kind of why? And I think they take that to such an extent. Maybe that's kind of why radio sucks right now. Is because they're really only playing, you know, not just the same format, but a few songs within that same format over and over and over again.
Yeah, that is a big problem with radio right now. When I went up to visit, you know, the crew in Vancouver where the station is located, about 3 years ago, and I was driving down the road, flipping through the stations, and I heard the same song on three different stations at the same time.
Oh, that's scary. You know, I actually wrote, I didn't write. I said to her face, one of the local DJs who was at a live event, and from a channel that I generally like, which plays classic rock, which is the stuff that I grew up with. I hate them calling it classic rock now.
Yeah, well, they even play stuff that, you know, I listened to when I was a little bit younger. They call that classic rock.
Right. And
I'm only 30 years old. So.
But I said to her, I said, you know, I happen to know that the Beatles wrote more than five songs.
Yeah.
You know, because they would only play the same, you know, small group of songs for. And I kept begging for like a couple from Backman Turner Overdrive, which never gets played. The only ones you ever hear from Backman Turner Overdrive are "You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet" and "Taking Care of Business." Those are the only two songs you ever hear out of them. And it's like they never did anything, but they had like four or five albums. Granted, they weren't the greatest group of all time, but they had some other fairly decent cuts. And we know you've got the library there. There's no reason you can't play it. That the copyright is the same for one
than
for the other. And this is why I think internet radio is better, because, you know, you're not covered by FCC license at all, are you?
No. We're actually covered by we're not even in jurisdiction of America because it's a Canadian-based station. We would be under the jurisdiction of the CRTC, which is the Canadian equivalent, and they decided not to regulate internet radio, so we're completely free.
So you can get away with damn near anything.
Anything we want, pretty much. We're very lucky in it.
Which is good, because that means I can fucking curse all I want.
Yeah, you know pretty much can. Yeah.
I know what I'm fucking saying to you.
Yeah, I know what you're fucking saying.
I haven't listened to Rantspeak, because like I said, and I'm going to listen to the archives. I haven't listened to Rantspeak simply because it's on so damn late, even for me. I mean, a show that starts at 2 a.m. my time, and I'm on Eastern, you're in Central, so.
Yeah, it's believe me, it's not my call on that one.
Well, yeah, well that's because, like you said, Sim is a West Coast guy.
Yeah, so for him, 11 o'clock's not a big deal.
Yeah, and but even so, Sunday at 11 o'clock is rather late. I mean, that's Dr. Demento time.
Yeah. Sort of a strange guy,
yeah.
But you know, I deal with it. He's
well,
okay.
I'll have to listen into the show there to hear you guys, because apparently you're very popular. Every time I get in the chat room,
it's funny because we think we're awful. We think we're just as we just think we're absolutely awful, and people just love it.
I don't know. I haven't heard. I know Mark and Daryl get because that's the only show that I, you know, listen to regularly because it's on before mine. I usually tune in before, you know, right after I finish putting my show up.
Right.
And sometimes I even call in. But what a lot of times they're like, what are we talking about now, dude? You know, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Let's call this guy and see what's up.
Yeah, I know. And for some reason, it works. I don't really know why.
Well, maybe it's because people are so tired of the pre-programmed stuff all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, it's nice to hear a little bit of spontaneity. I think you used to get that with older radio back in the 60s and 70s.
Probably, yeah.
Where the DJs had a little bit more control. You ever see WKRP in Cincinnati?
Sure, I remember that show.
And, the station manager was always bugging Dr. Johnny Fever to play something new. And he was like, no, man, I'm only playing Floyd or whatever, you know. And, you know, can you see that going on in today's stations? Not at all.
No, not at all.
You know, in fact, the DJs might as well not even be there.
No, they have, you know, people say, well, DJs suck. Believe me, it's not their fault.
No, it's not. In fact, I talked to, I called up a station in Philadelphia one time asking about a show that was supposed to be on because I was going to stream it. And a lot of radio stations, now, well, not a lot, but a few radio stations will stream their audio so that it goes far and beyond the broadcast.
Right.
And I was asking, you know, I was expecting this and this show. And he said, well, that show got kind of canceled this week because it was late coming and all that stuff. And we were just talking about, you know, the state of radio. And he said, it's a real sorry affair for us DJs. We don't do anything anymore.
Yeah, and to tell you the truth, radio is not a good field to get into.
Well.
Because you're pretty much fodder for it. You'll have a job one day and the next day you won't. And that's if you're lucky to make money in the first place.
Well, that's why internet radio was so cool. I mean, we don't make money, but we're doing this because we enjoy it.
Right.
I mean, there's no reason I have to do a radio show twice a week and waste my time and
waste a lot of it.
But I do it because I love to do it. And I'm kind of the black sheep of rant radio because I'm really the only left winger you've got, am I? Most of you guys are centered to the right.
Finn is not. Marion's very left. I'm more to the center and the right. When you came on, we lost all of our right-wing shows. I'm actually going to be adding some within the next couple of weeks just so I can have more balance away from you. Because right now the only view that we really have on the station is the left, so I had to get something for the right. Too.
Wow, that's weird. Well, this is, trust me, the right has a big domination on the actual airwaves. So I really don't think there's a need for balance in internet radio. We need all the lefties we can get, in my opinion. But
well,
then again, I'm biased.
Yeah, yes, you are. And I do like to have, you know, something for everybody here. Sometimes I'll add something new, and there are people that have been around listening to the station forever, and they'll get angry if I put on something they don't like. And my response to that is, what most people need to understand is, you know, it's not just about a small audience of 10 or 15 people. It's about, we want to entertain everybody in the world. Because sometimes I'll get emails from countries in a language I don't even understand. The most I can make out of it is they like me, you know. So I have to think far and beyond our little IRC channel that we have that people hang out in, because it's much, much bigger than that.
Well, of course, you don't have the time or the money to do as much publicity as you would love to do, I'm sure.
To get it out,
because Rant Radio is actually a very good name.
Yeah.
And very easily thing. And I put you as a link on in my website, but that's really the extent of time that I have. I can't even really advertise the Cup of Joe show. And I've been trying to get, you know, some people out here in Atlanta to help me get a working crew, as I like to say, because when you sell a show to a radio station, if you're wanting to do, and I'm trying to sell it to like Air America, which is the big lefty talk radio station.
I've noticed that quite a bit that you're trying to do that.
Well, you know, it would be nice to earn a little bit of money,
Sure.
And you know, while I don't mind working a 40-hour-a-week job, it does take away from the stuff that I really want to do. I mean, I don't do the job because I want to do the job. I do the job because I have to.
You have to do the job, right?
And,
it is nice to make money in it. But in our case, we don't know if we're going to, because we don't think anyone will ever pay for this in its current form.
Mm-hmm.
We did have a .com company a couple of years ago offer us a fairly substantial sum of money, but they wanted to change everything.
Yeah, you don't want to lose all that kind of control.
We said no, and before too long the .com went under, and we're still here. So you know, we made the right choice.
Now, let me ask you something. Now you I assume you work for a living regular.
No, I've been unemployed for quite some time.
Oh, so you live with relatives, or you live with?
Yes, I live with relatives. Unfortunately, I am the stereotype person that lives in the basement on the internet.
Now, are you Are you like the black sheep of the family, the weird guy that does all of the stuff that we don't understand?
I wouldn't say I'm weird, but
would they say that?
I would be the one that does the stuff that nobody else in the house understands.
Yeah. Does that surprise you that there's like two different worlds like that, or not surprise you? It's not the right word, but do you sometimes think about that? Because I have relatives who understand that I do a radio show, but they can't comprehend why or how.
Yeah, you get a lot of it. For some reason, doing radio on the internet has a really bad stigma to it.
Well, it's not just that, but doing it for nothing. That's just the thing. So why are you doing this if you're not earning any money off it? Because that's like the only thing that these people think about.
Yeah, we get that a lot. You making any money yet? No. We'd like to, but you know, I don't think it's possible.
It's just kind of a shame that money's got to play such a part in it all the time. It would be nice that if everybody, you know, had a job and was able to earn enough so that they can do this stuff, and you can just be, you know, they can call it a hobby, because that's what they used to call this stuff, a hobby. And I don't look at it as a hobby, and I'm sure you don't either. You just look at it as something that you feel like you need to do because the technology is there and it's cool, and it's a way of making yourself, you know, making a name for yourself in some way, shape, or form.
Right. I mean, we've gotten so big right now, we've gotten to the point where it's really no longer a hobby. It's something that I have to do every day, because if I don't keep my thumb on it, it'll go down.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like with the blog. If I don't post something every single day, and I can't post something every single day, the number of hits goes down. And people tune into the bigger left wing blogs like Atrios and Daily Coast and all them, you know, they post, you know, a couple of dozen times a day. And so people are always clicking in to see what's new. And, of course, they get a lot of people commenting, so there's always a lot of people just tuning in to participate like that. And, you know, but again, you really kind of have to sort of keep up at it all the time. And I've got other things going on. Even if I wasn't working for a living, I'm sure I would have more time. I wouldn't spend all of my days just posting and commenting on sites all day.
And I mean, the big part, I think, why we'd like to make money, if we could ever work that out, is just not so we can be rich, but just so we could do this all day.
Right, exactly. I mean, and people don't understand that. They seem to think that you got to want to be rich. And it's like, look, rich is, you know, that kind of money, being rich, is kind of slavery, too, because you become a slave to that money.
Yeah, you got to keep an eye on the money.
Yeah, the things, you know, the things you own you. And,
exactly.
But it's really nice to find a lot of other people who just do this just for the sake of enjoying it.
Yeah.
I mean, even if others don't really understand it that well, it's nice to do something just because you can and because you enjoy it so much.
I mean, this all actually started because of a movie. Have you ever seen the movie Pump Up the Volume?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
It's meant for a bit of a younger crowd, but you should rent it and watch it, and then you probably understand why we started. That's what the inspiration for the whole thing was.
I'll have to check it out. I'm
that
sure.
Movie.
Who was in that? Who starred in it? Or was that any big names?
Christian Slater.
Okay.
And we're just amazed that it's gotten as big as it has. I'll get emails from people, and they just tell me, it's like, wow, you're cool. For what? You know? Sometimes I appreciate it, but sometimes it's really hard to wrap your head around.
Do you think internet radio is going to eventually replace broadcast radio?
That's a tough one. That's really a tough one.
Well, you see, of course, the problem is everybody's got to have a computer to begin with.
Yeah, but I could see that for cars. I can see that coming really soon. Because we're getting in an age where, like, you know, where mobile internet is everywhere.
Right.
And pretty soon, I think they'll start putting it in cars and whatnot, and we might get something there.
If you get it in cars and in the workplace, then you're going to be killer, because that's, you know, most people listen to radio in those two places.
Right.
I don't know anybody who listens to radio regularly at home that much. Well, my wife does sometimes.
I haven't listened to broadcast radio in years.
Yeah. You know, when I gave up listening to broadcast radio was back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And you think it was bad now. It was just as bad back then. It was a station called 99X. And
we have one of those here.
Yeah, we have one of those here in Atlanta, too. And I guess it was just a number and a letter that just mixed together.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just basically, they were the types of DJs that they would yak and yak and yak up until the second that somebody actually says something in a song. You know, they'll play the little intro part, and until somebody sings, they'll talk. And, of course, on an instrumental song like Frankenstein by the Edgar Winter Group, they wouldn't shut up at all.
Yeah, it's called Using the Ramp. band.
Yeah, and then they would cut songs like crazy so that they'd be like 2 minutes. Like my biggest one was Peter Frampton's "Do You Feel Like We Do," which is like a 15-minute song.
Yeah.
Now, granted, this was the 70s. This is not punk stuff, okay?
No.
But it's a 15-minute song, and they would cut it down to like 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, they'll never play a 15-minute song on the radio ever.
Well, actually, when I first came down to Atlanta. I was flipping channels, and I was driving, of course, in the car. They were playing "Do You Feel?" And I said, "Oh, they're going to cut it." And I said, "No, they didn't cut it." And I was really shocked. And I stuck with that radio station, simply because that they didn't do that. I'd never heard a station do that before. But even so, it was after a while I began to realize that they were playing only the same 30 or 40 songs.
Yeah,
or so.
Well, that's very short. I have a degree in radio broadcasting, and I worked in broadcast radio for about 6 months. And it was a hell that I cannot describe. Just because I really didn't get to do that much radio. I did mostly paperwork, and it was horrible. It was boring. When I got to do radio, actual radio, I was just doing like public service announcements for lost children. That's not a noble thing, but I wanted a lot more than that.
Well, you know they were probably just working you through. You have to do all that stuff before you get to the good stuff.
Well, I know that. But also, because I was doing an internship, but when my time came up to get paid, they let me go.
They do that a lot.
And I never made a dime.
But you shouldn't have punched that guy in the face.
Well, yeah, there was that. But yeah, but also it depends on the market that you're into. If you want to make money in radio, you have to be in a big market, and you have to be very, very good. You don't have to be right. You just have to learn how to talk. And talk well.
But don't you think that's a bad thing, though? I mean, that they want to have all this stuff where everybody kind of sounds alike. George Carlin talked about being a DJ, because he used to be a DJ. And he was saying he got out of it because everybody talked the same way. Hey, wax. And it would just get old after a while. And you would think that after a bit that people listening would just tune it out.
Yeah, I think it's starting to move a little bit more toward that. Because stations nowadays advertise, when I do listen to the broadcast radio, they advertise more that they play more music and less talking, because nobody wants to hear them talk, because they have nothing interesting to say.
And another problem that you have with talk, I think, and maybe you can back me up on this, I don't know, but that too much of it is based towards confrontation, people screaming at each other all the time.
Yeah.
And do you see that? I mean, do you listen to broadcast talk radio at all?
No, I'm usually too busy with our own stuff.
Yeah.
It sounds so terrible, but I'm the biggest fan of our own stuff that you're ever going to find.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, I'm a big fan of my own show, even though I know it's got its flaws. And I'm a big fan even of shows like Mark and Daryl, because it's real. You can tell it's not a prepackaged, pre-programmed thing. And that's what I love about Rant Radio. And in fact, I owe you guys something, because you got me turned on to Jello Biafra, because I had never heard him before.
Yeah, Jello's pretty cool.
And he was, I heard his "Wake Up and Smell the Noise" screed, and I said, "Oh, this is cool."
Yeah.
And I'm not even into that scene,
No.
I'm a 42-year-old guy that works in a fucking steel plant.
Well, I'm thinking he's older than you are. He's been around a long time.
Yeah, but he was one of the big guys in the punk rock scene. I mean,
right,
Dick Kennedy.
Yes, he was.
And I really liked, and maybe you can tell me about this, because I'm really not that familiar with it, but that little bit where he talked about how the punk rock scene is so inclusive or exclusive that you won't even talk to anybody who's made a penny off of their work unless you were going to beat them up first. And I'm like, is it really that bad in that scene? Because I know some of the goths are like that.
Yeah, they are. There's a lot of more goth than goth, or I'm more punk than you. You get to that. We had a little bit of that when we were trying to figure out what the playlist rotation was going to be for the punk station. We get emails. Because we list. We don't make the stuff available of what we play, but we list what we play. And we get emails like, "Well, this isn't punk, and that isn't punk," and we'd be like, "Well, define it for us then, if you're so smart." And those, usually people like that, we just ignore, because, it's like that old saying, opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one.
Everybody's got one, and of course, everybody's opinion is more important than anybody else's opinion.
That's exactly right.
I used to get into arguments with people about country music, and I'm not a big fan of country, but there are some songs that I consider country that I like, and the big one to me was like "Devil Came Down to Georgia."
Oh, well, if you don't like that song, you're just not human.
Exactly. Yeah. So. Yeah. But the whole thing about it is, it was just that I was told, no, that's not country, that's country rock. And I said, well, what about Something to Talk About by, what's her name? Not Reba West. I keep thinking Reba West.
Who is?
Reba McEntire. And, no, Bonnie Raitt.
Bonnie Raitt.
And it's like, that sounds like a country song to me. But I said, no, that's not country. That's pop. And I was like, well, what the fuck is country then?
But,
you know? And they were like, Hank Williams. I was like, well, fuck Hank Williams. You know, it's like, Jesus Christ.
Hank Williams is like old school.
Yeah, yeah. But he's like, you know, you ever listen to his music? Makes you want to slit your throat, man.
No, Hank Sr.? Yeah, my dad loves it.
Oh, my God. It's like, how could people listen to that? You want to kill yourself after hearing
this
thing.
I know.
There was that old joke about, you know, remember how they used to talk about backwards lyrics in records? And the guy said, well, I tried my country record that way, and my dog came back to life, and my wife came back to me, you know.
I got my truck back.
And yeah. I got my truck back, yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much how I like some country music, but not a lot of it. And you were asking me the other day, you know, why don't we play, like, hip-hop and stuff like that? And the reason before that is it's too easy. Yeah, we get more listeners, probably, but see, the point is, we want to give people something that they can't get on broadcast radio.
Right, that's a good point, because hip-hop's all over the radio.
Yeah, I mean, hip-hop is there. You can't get away from it.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds racist for me to say it. I don't mean it that way. But you can't turn the TV on without seeing a black man with his head on sideways.
Well, you know.
You can't do it.
It's just because those are the kids that are in the demographics right now.
Yeah,
I suppose. And
I didn't mean that the way it sounded. It's just like, you know, like you said, hip-hop is everywhere.
Oh, well, I'm not a big fan of it. It all sounds the same to me.
It is the same. It's all, you know, it's pre-produced. And everybody steals off everybody else, and it's the same stuff over and over and over.
And you wonder how long that's going to last. But then again, when rock and roll first came out, a lot of people thought it all sounded the same to them. But rock and roll eventually changed.
Yeah,
it changed
in a lot of ways. And it's come back some, which I really appreciate. Because for a while it was getting to the point where you could turn it, if you turn it on any pop station or any current music station, you weren't getting rock and roll anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You were getting all hip hop and rap and R&B, and now rock and roll has made a bit of rock, as they would say, has made a bit of a comeback. So I think that's nice.
Well, every now and then everything comes back. I mean, even swing made a short-lived comeback in the '90s.
Yes, it did. And MTV tried to push Tony Bennett down the young kids' throats.
Yeah, and I mean, not saying anything bad about Tony Bennett,
no,
but the kids
fine,
today.
But
the
it was
kids
just a
today,
bad idea.
Yeah, you know, they're not into that nice slow. I mean, I love Tony Bennett. I love that music from the '40s and the '50s.
Oh, sure, I think it's good stuff too. But just people like MTV, they push really hard to try to make you like things, and
mm-hmm.
it doesn't always work out.
I think I don't think it's bad that they do that, but I think you're right. I think they try too hard to do that. I mean, you should put something out there, you know, and maybe some kid will say, hey, this is pretty cool, maybe I'll listen to that. I mean, I get that a lot of work myself because I work with a lot of younger guys, you know.
Right.
I mean, there's the older people. I mean, there are people who have been where I'm working since before I was born, and I'm 42
yeah.
years old, and that's scary to me.
Right.
Although that's never going to happen to anybody that's working now, but there's a lot of young kids there.
Yeah.
And a lot of young, you know, African-American kids, and they, you know, they don't understand anything from anything that wasn't made in the last 5 or 6 years.
No.
You know, especially not different formats. And I'm talking about Paul Simon and the Beatles. Well, everybody knows the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
But like Electric Light Orchestra guy, never heard of Electric Light Orchestra.
Yeah. Sometimes that makes, because I know this stuff too, and you're a little bit older than me, and then I'll be talking to people about stuff like this, and they don't know. And it's like, wow, I suddenly got old.
Yeah.
But I owe a lot to my parents in that respect too. Because when I was little, my parents, whenever we were in the car or wherever, the radio was always on. And I got a lot of music culture through my parents. Because they like all sorts of different things. And like I said, the radio was always on. I just sort of learned, you know, I kind of learned by listening.
You know, I never got a damn thing from my parents in that respect. They never played any music that I was from, or, you know, they never tried to make me listen to any music or anything like that. In fact, it was interesting because some of my older relatives and my aunts and my uncles were learning disco when disco was big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were learning the Hustle and all these other dances. And I'm
right.
like, whatever. You know, even though that phrase wasn't around back then.
Yeah.
But it was a different generation. I mean, you know, they thought differently than we do now.
But, I mean, it wasn't even, they never forced me. It was just always there.
Yeah.
So I would just sort of naturally inundated with it. I was never, you know, told to sit down and listen to this. It was just always on.
Right.
So it just sort of trickled into my head on its own. And my grandfather could play piano by ear. Whatever he heard, he could play. So, you know, I learned a lot listening to him, too.
Well, I'm going to bring this to a close. We've been talking for, well, just over half an hour, which is why I love doing interviews. Because
eats up half the show.
You have no idea how difficult it is to try to figure out something to talk about, even for 15 or 20 minutes straight. And keep in mind, I do this show by myself.
Yes, you do.
So I don't have anybody to talk to. So, you know, when you hear me ramble sometimes, it's just because, my God, I've been talking for 10 minutes and I've played this whole thing out. And, you know, since it's a non-commercial show, I can't say, okay, we're just going to break for a commercial now.
Yeah.
And lay off for a few minutes, and I just can't do that.
Yeah, that's a big thing with us too. We don't do any commercials.
So, yeah, I know you kind of not reamed me, but you told me about
that the other time. Well, I didn't mean to ream. I didn't know you were doing that. See, that's gotten to be the problem now that we're so big. I can't listen to everybody. It's impossible.
Right. Well, you know, the whole thing was I was playing his show for his commercial for like 3 or 4 shows.
Yeah,
and
I didn't know. I had no idea.
I had, you know, it wasn't like every single show, but I was like, you know, I think I'm kind of, because he only sent me the one, and he never plays anything for my show anyway. So I'm like, this is the last week.
I didn't know that you were doing that. You said, well, I did it 3 or 4 other times. I'm like, well, I had no idea. I just heard it that once, and I'm like, ooh, no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, it's not your fault.
Trust me, I'm not making any money off of it. That's true.
No, I didn't think that. But that's a huge rule, and if Sumerian found out about it, which he will now, but if he had actually heard it when you played it, he would have lost his mind, and I would have had to shove a towel in his mouth, and it would have been bad. But,
Jesus, I would have been like, well, what's your deal, dude?
Yeah, he's a little excited. He's a good guy. He's really excitable about that sort of thing. He's the kind of guy, this is what he does. This is how anti-advertising he is. All his clothes, when he buys his clothes, he cuts all the brand name tags off. He subscribes to Adbusters magazine, which is an entire magazine dedicated to a no-ad society.
Mm-hmm.
And when he bought a car, he bought a Monte Carlo, which he won't tell anyone. And when he bought the car, he tore all the emblems off the car.
Hmm.
That's just the kind of guy he is. So it's probably a good thing that he didn't hear that commercial at that time.
Well, I'm not a big fan of the over-advertising. In fact, I was listening to somebody had on a cell phone, and before he was making a call or something, he had a little advertisement coming on his cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ, can you go anywhere in this country without somebody trying to sell you something somewhere?
No, you can't.
And it's like, God almighty, it's too much. I mean, I don't think I would go as far as Sumerian, but, it's just so much. So, I do the BuzzFlash thing, which isn't really a commercial. That's just a really neat little thing that they put together. In fact, I wish I had more stuff like that because it would make it easier to.
Can I ask you a question about that without getting too deep into it?
Sure.
How do you really feel about that BuzzFlash thing? Cause to me, when I listen to it, it sounds a lot more like just personal attacks than it does, you know, basis commentary.
Well, it is more personal attacks, and I like a little bit of red meat every now and then.
Okay.
Plus, it fills up about 3 minutes worth of time.
Yeah, I just wondered how you felt about it, because you're pretty liberal, but I thought some of it's like, wow.
Well, I'm not as confrontational as most people are, and if you read some of the websites that I read, some of them are very, very confrontational. The Bart Cobb people, for example, or Bart Cobb himself,
mm-hmm.
and he does his own little radio show, but he wouldn't go on rant radio. He charges for his show. And but he's got a lot of listeners. This guy gets hundreds of thousands of hits a day, and he's probably got about 500 or 600 subscribers.
I don't know how many hits we get because we don't have a published counter, but I know just the website alone eats in like 5 gigs of bandwidth a day, loading the page up. And as far as transfer goes, I think we eat like 8 terabytes a month.
Good Lord!
So
your cost for bandwidth must be something. Well, then, people donate it to you, right?
Yeah, they would have to because there's no way we could ever afford it.
Right.
We're almost what you call a victim of our own success.
Well, that's cool, though. I mean, there are worse things that you can be.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so. Well, Smokehouse, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me. It's really been a joy.
Well, I'm glad to be on Rant Radio, and I'm proud to be a member of your community because...
Yeah, we're glad to have you. I mean... I'll just straight up say you're one of the best show hosts that we have right now. So.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm really happy to have you, even though we don't always agree.
Well, we don't have to agree.
Believe me, I'm very happy to have you here.
See, that's just the thing that's important to me. You don't have to agree. It's not important to agree on everything, because when you agree on everything, then you just become fucking robots.
Yeah, that's true.
You can have disagreements about stuff, but there's certain lines that you shouldn't cross.
Right.
And I think, as far as the right wing is concerned, that they've crossed so many damn lines. I mean, when you want to talk about Kerry's policy, that's fine, but don't bitch about his fucking war record. You know, that's over the line.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, there's just the fact that they're willing to do that just goes to show that some people have no shame. And there are Democrats who would do the same thing.
I mean, I don't
like George Bush any more than the next guy, but I don't want to put a bullet through his head.
No.
And I don't, you know, and I don't.
Some of the stuff's a little extreme.
Yeah. So you know, you get that on both sides, but it's important when you're having alternative points of view to have reasonable alternative points of view. Just don't just put on any crazy son of a bitch that's on there because they've got an opposite viewpoint.
Right.
You know.
And you get a lot of that these days too.
And I try when I do my show and listening to other your shows, and I know some of the other DJs try to do that. I try at least to be honest about what I feel.
Right, and I believe that you are.
So, anyway, thanks again for being on the show. And again, I'm real proud to be on Rant Radio.
Thank you so much. And it's a pleasure to have you.
And this will be on Thursday's show.
Okay, I'll let everybody know.
Kids, welcome to the Willie West Show here on Wonderful Wino Radio. Wonderful Wino. Welcome to the Willie West Show here on a wonderful Wednesday with the weird one. It's been a Willie West winging away with 101 Wild and Willie Wedges of Wax and Quasi Wagons to play on the radio. Right here on Wonderful Wino. Wonderful Wino. 1750 on your dial, just above the police calls, kid. We got stacks and stacks of wax and wax. We got to pick the click, the ones to watch the oldies but goodies and newies but gooies. We got the top 700 records here in the world. A wonderful wino, wonderful wino. Let's get started with big rockin' sound now. That great new group from England, the Kansas City Boys. Let's hear 'em. My baby's dead.
Bling, ding, bling, ding, 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 bling.
My baby's dead. Doo. She got hit by a train. Doo. Big old train. I'm gonna get that train. There it is, kids. Another big romantic ballad for you. And you heard it right here on Wonderful Wino. Wonderful Wino. That was by Danny and the Dressmakers, one of the great new groups around. And that's their third million seller this week. Okay, let's move along. Two in a row, a big double play in the Weird Willie West Show for you. Another tune here. This one's brand new. Hasn't even been released yet. It's number one on the charts this week. Next week, it'll be a golden oldie. Let's hear it.
I sent my sinuses to Arizona. I sent my liver to Peru. I sent my lungs and my kidney for the summer to Sydney, but I'm sending my heart to you.
Another big romantic ballad, and you heard it right here on Wonderful Wino. Wonderful Wino. Bulletin, 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 bulletin. Here is a bulletin, bulletin, bulletin. The sun did not come up this morning. Huge cracks have appeared in the Earth's surface, and big rocks are falling out of the sky. Details 25 minutes from now on Action Central News, another big tune for you, kids. Moving right along with one of the big sounds. This one, we're going to send out some dedications. It's number one this week. Top of the heap, cream of the crop, pick of the pack. Number one and moving higher all the time. Got a few great cool calls in the boss line. We're going to send out some dedications. Big Al, Red, Louie, Spike, Choo Choo, Spanish Anna, Dirty Mary, Nick the Greek, Baby Carlos. Junior, Pee Wee, Toots, Popo, Spot, Greasy, Creep, Woozy, Mush, Ralph, and Brucey. Ralph and Brucey. Hey. And it's our pick to make you sick, Jenny.
We.
bumblet, bumblet, tater to tater to bumblet, bumblet, tater to tater to bumblet, bumblet, blip, 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 blip,
Jenny! Another big romantic ballad for you, and you heard it right here on Wonderful Wino. Wonderful Wino in Western Walla Walla. Another big tune. This one's been on the charts for 2.5 years. It's just starting to make the big move this week. Last week it was number 215. This week, zooming up to the big number 212 spot, a folk protest song by Danny and the Demonstrators. Don't want no war.
Don't want no war. Don't want no war. Don't want no war.
Don't want no job, neither. Another big romantic ballad, and you heard it right here on Wonderful Wino. And speaking of romance, kids, where are you going to be going this weekend with that date of yours? Why not go on out to the Makeout Drive-In Theater? Think you like it out there? No lines, no waiting. There's no movie either, kid. Of course, they've got a great Technicolor Teen Toon Fest for you. A great flick to click out there this week on the 6-year super favorite stars Sandra Dee, Peggy Lee, Brenda Lee, Bobby V, Molly B, and Oscar Homolka in Sex Bed Teen Bikini Virgin Surf Beach Ball Bash. Don't miss it. 117 of your favorite songs included. Okay, kids, that just about wraps it up here on the Weird Willie West Show on a wonderful Wednesday. We'll catch you again tomorrow on a thumping Thursday if someone doesn't bomb the station. But in the meantime, we got the old tunes, the new tunes, the show tunes, the blue tunes, the greatest music in town, but we never play it.
He did not fill his duty admirably, and he knew it. And he knew it when he didn't show up. And he knew it when he went up to Boston and didn't report in. He knew what his requirements were. He signed documents. So it's a different world today than it was yesterday because he has now been caught. And his administration has been caught. And you know what? George Bush's allies have made an issue of John Kerry's service. And we are going to make an issue of the president's credibility as it relates to his service, to the conduct of what he has done in Iraq, on the issues of his credibility on jobs, health care, and education. All of this is on the table. And it's going to be on the table from now until November 2nd.
George Carlin, Wonderful Wino Radio, which is my little tribute to the days of DJs past. I want to thank my wife for reminding me of that clip so I could put it in the show. Thanks, my dear. The voice you heard during the other segue was Democratic National Convention Chairman Terry McAuliffe. Maybe these guys will start taking off the gloves. There's only a couple of months left in the campaign, and it's a pretty tight race, and people are only now starting to really pay attention, so I'm glad to see some backbone from the Democrats. And we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, the voice of the working man, the voice of the radical middle, and the voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. And I want to thank Smokehouse again for a really, really cool interview. And I want to remind everyone that my show does premiere every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and at midnight Eastern Standard Time on Sundays on rantradio.com. That's rantradio.com. And, of course, it's also available at the blog, which is cupojoe.blogspot.com. Or if you can't remember that much, just go to cupjoe.com and click on the link for the blog. And you can also get archives at the White Rose Society, www.whiterosesociety.org. And once again, I thank my good friend Ben Birch for putting the archives up there. So until next time, this is Joe Vecchio signing off. Bye. Joe Vecchio, the host of the Cup of Joe radio show, is proud to be a member of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 2127. However, the views of Joe Vecchio do not necessarily represent the views of Local 2127, the IBEW, or its affiliate, the AFL-CIO. Please remember to support your working brothers and sisters and help keep the American dream alive. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been a production of Jove Enterprises, Incorporated.